Beginning a new sermon series today that I'm calling The One. I've asked you to help me with choosing either one word or one person or one place or one event or one story from the Bible. And thank you for those submissions. And we'll be doing this now from today until the end of June. And today we're beginning appropriately with the one word Pentecost, since it is Pentecost Sunday. And the place that we find that is in the book of Acts. So I'm going to invite you to follow along. I'm going to split up the story into two today. The first scripture is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, right out of the box, I'll just ask you a question. What are you doing for Pentecost? It's a rather strange question. It's a question that we probably are quite used to when we're talking about Christmas or Easter or, like last week, Mother's Day. But isn't it interesting that Pentecost never quite makes it into our calendar? We will celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ in December with great fanfare. And of course, on Easter, which was just a little while ago, there's trumpets and lilies. Well, more than Christmas and more than Easter, the early Christians celebrated the birth of the body of Christ. And by this, I mean the church. And I think this tells us something about what those closest to Jesus during that time thought was of utmost importance. Friends, I believe that we are in desperate need of the reality of Pentecost. Now, I'm not talking about being Pentecostal. I'm not talking about Bible-thumping preachers, people dancing in the aisles, or raising their hands in worship. Oh, by the way, why don't Presbyterians raise their hands in worship? Want to know the answer? Because we are afraid that God might call on us. Pentecostal is an adjective, which is more often style than substance. Now, unfortunately, the very word Pentecost strikes a rather unhealthy chord in many of our hearts. For some, it means excessive emotionalism, dangerous enthusiasm, or doctrinal ignorance. And if we're being honest, I'm willing to bet that some of you may be muttering under your breath, "Well, whatever happened at Pentecost, John, oh, please don't let it happen here." Think about where all this could lead. It could lead to longer worship services. Oh, no. How will we ever beat the Baptist to the buffet line for lunch? Longer committee meetings. It might interrupt our plans. But what if God really did do something like that here? Would we know what to do? I guess what I'm really asking is, do we want Chestnut Level to be a church that is alive with the Holy Spirit? If you answer yes to that question, then Pentecost can make a difference. So I would invite you to join me as we finish the story, as I read once again from Acts chapter 2. I'm going to pick it up in verse 14 and then read to the end of verse 21. Once again, you can follow along on the screen. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And once again, would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. God, help us to make sense of this day and this story. Open our hearts and minds so that we might receive that which would enable us to grow more and more into Christ's likeness as we go about our days for you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, as we look back at that day of Pentecost, there's one thing that I think we can say, one thing I think we can agree on, and that is that Pentecost worked. The gift of the Holy Spirit brought Jesus Christ into the mainstream of all those surrounding nations. And Pentecost makes it clear that Christianity is the first and only true universal faith. In Peter's sermon, in which he quotes the prophet Joel, which I just read for you, he says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people," all people. And then finishing up in verse 21, Peter proclaims, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everyone. So here is the universality of the gospel. In a few minutes, we're going to stand and say in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in the Holy Catholic Church." My job is to turn all of you into Catholics this morning. Now I know what you're thinking. "John, I am really confused. I thought I walked into a Presbyterian church. What do you mean Catholic? I'm in a worship service. This isn't Mass." Well, one difference between Catholics and Presbyterians is how we understand this word Catholic. The word Catholic is an amalgam of two Greek words, kale, which means over, and ole, which means all. Kata ole, overall, the overall church. If you are someone who wears dungaree overalls, hey, you're already a good Catholic. When we say, "I believe in the Holy Catholic Church," we're saying, "I believe in the overall global spanning universal worldwide family of God." If you're someone who grew up Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or even Presbyterian, you may be more Catholic than the Catholics because they add the qualifier, "I believe in the Roman Catholic Church." For them, the true church is all those believers around the world who are united under the leadership of the Pope in Rome. For us, in the Apostles' Creed, the C in Catholic is not capitalized. It is a lowercase c. And so instead of being organizational Catholics, we are spiritual Catholics. We believe that we are united as one body with believers all around the world who, on the basis of their faith, will say, "Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior." Doesn't matter if you're a man or woman, young or old, slave or free. There's no distinction of sex, age, race, or socioeconomic status. The giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was universal. But in good Presbyterian polity, I will move the previous question that I began with at the beginning of the message. What are you doing for Pentecost? Well, first, we probably need to talk a little bit about what it really is. Pentecost was a Jewish feast following 50 days after Passover. You know that the Passover brought deliverance to the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. And on the 50th day following, the people received at the hand of Moses, while he was on Mount Sinai, the law which gave them an identity. Pentecost, meaning 50, from the Greek word Pentecoste, was established as a feast of Israel. It's actually called the Feast of 7 Weeks. It was a Jewish festival of the first fruits of the beginning of the harvest. People were to bring 2 loaves of grain, the best they had, not some kind of reheated leftovers, and then to present that as an offering to God. Now, in the New Testament, we celebrate Pentecost because it marked the beginning of the church. To put it simply, Pentecost is the birthday of the church. And on that day, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven and filled those people. If you think about it, it really is a miracle of God. Imagine the sound of a mighty wind blowing downward, the sight of fire, or as it says, tongues of fire that separated and rested on each of them. The beginning of the church that day is the beginning of the spreading of God's word. And the spreading of God's word does not happen without the Holy Spirit. What makes Pentecost so miraculous is that each disciple, as you heard me read, started speaking in known foreign tongues. And just need to know that the 120 people that were gathered there were not language experts. They had no training in any kind of linguistics. At best, they knew Aramaic and probably just a little bit of Greek. And yet the Holy Spirit became the interpreter that day. The Holy Spirit became the interpreter. So each of those 12 countries and districts who were represented heard their own tongue and in their own language. That is an incredible miracle. It would be kind of like us going to the United Nations in New York City and being able to communicate with all those different countries without the necessity of those earphones as an interpreter. No interpreter would be needed because they could understand us and we could understand them. So at Pentecost, on Pentecost, we have a miracle. But what's important is that it's a practical miracle because the overall purpose is to proclaim the gospel. Jesus told this to his disciples before he ascended. Listen to what he said. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Friends, because of Pentecost, we have been given this power. The Holy Spirit came in power from heaven with wind and fire. It rested upon the people there, and it gave them a power that they needed to accomplish things that they never would have dreamed of in their lives. And 2,000 years later, so it is with you and me. I love the story of the guy who was driving along the country here in Pennsylvania, and it was on a rainy day, and he hit a slick spot, and his car spun off the road and into a ditch. Now, fortunately, there was a farmer who was coming by on his horse, and the horse's name was Duke. And the farmer stopped and said to him, "Don't worry, mister, me and Duke will pull you out of the ditch." And so the farmer hitched Duke to the front of the man's bumper, and he walked over next to Duke, and he said very loudly, "Okay, trigger, pull." Well, Duke didn't move. So the farmer walked around to the other side of his horse named Duke, said, "Okay, Gus, pull." Duke didn't move. And then the farmer said, "Okay, Duke, you pull." And with that, Duke gave a mighty surge. He pulled that car out of the ditch and put it right back on the road. Well, the man was incredibly appreciative. He said, "Thank you so much, But I have to ask you, why did you call your horse by the wrong name the first two times? And the farmer said, well, you see, it's like this. Duke's blind. And if he thought he was the only one pulling, he wouldn't move. The early church pulled together in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's mission in the world. And friends, the same power that God used to begin his church is the same power that God can use to renew his church. Because Pentecost Sunday is not supposed to be this dusty memory that we remember once a year in which we get to wear red, but it is a present possibility waiting to become a reality right here, right now, at Chestnut level. And with that power, we together can find our purpose in life. We are to go forth into this messy world in humility, giving our love, using our gifts, sharing our faith with people whom God is sending to proclaim his name. Someone has said very well, a church should not be known by its seating capacity, but a church should be known by its sending capacity. The Christian pastor, author, professor Tony Campolo and his wife Peggy have two adult children, Lisa and Bart. And for many years, while Tony Campolo was out lecturing and giving talks to churches and other people, Peggy, his wife, saw her job as to be the glue in the family, to stay home as a good wife and mother. And even though she felt very good about that, there were times that she would travel with her husband and she would meet some very impressive, high-powered people who intimidated her with their accomplishments. And what that did was cause Peggy Campolo to sort of question her self-worth and value and if she really measured up to their expectations and standards. And so Tony, her husband, said, listen, honey, you need to think of something to say to people to let them know that you believe in the importance of the role that you have chosen for yourself. Well, some years ago, there were a fancy dinner party and this very elegant woman came up and in a very condescending manner said, and so, dear, what do you do for a living? And Peggy Campolo was prepared. And she said to her, actually, I am nurturing two homo sapiens in the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian heritage in order to turn them into instruments of transformation in the social order and into the eschatological being that God intended from the very beginning of time. And then Peggy Campolo said, and what do you do? And this woman just sheepishly, she said, oh, well, I'm just a doctor. We are people who have been called. We are aposteloi, people with a purpose. And it doesn't really matter if you come here next week or next month or you're someone who watches from home, because the power of the Holy Spirit that blew on Pentecost blows through you as well. And this is true whether you have a reverend in front of your name or not. All of us have been spiritually enlisted to do the work of ministry so that when you jump up to volunteer, Chestnut level can be a Pentecost church in which we do ministry beyond our wildest imagination. When you say that I am a member of Chestnut Level Presbyterian Church, like this morning we celebrated people who have been here for a very long time, you're not saying, oh, I'm just on this database with a bunch of other folks, or I'm just in a directory. You're saying, no, I am a part of a living organism. In fact, I serve an indispensable function within this large, complex body. It means giving all that you have and all of who you are in an act of faithfulness and devotion to God. If you knew several years back that this struggling little company called Amazon would hit it big, would you have invested in it? Of course you would have, so would I. We are part of something more glorious than even Amazon. On Pentecost, God came as wind and fire, and in the middle of this pyrotechnical event, Peter the disciple, preaches a five-minute sermon, and 3,000 people come to faith. Gosh, I'd love to put that on my resume. Friends, I'm here to tell you that everything that God did at Pentecost, God can do here at Chestnut Level. God is not only over us, but he is for us, and he is also at work within us. It's Jesus Christ living in us, thinking through our minds, listening through our ears, speaking through our lips, loving through our hearts, and working through our hands. You know, without the Holy Spirit, we might pack this place to the balcony, but we still wouldn't be the church. Without the Holy Spirit, we could have people waiting online for food on Wednesdays all the way out to Route 272, but not one person would be spiritually fed. Without the Holy Spirit, we could have an active children's program. We could have the latest and hottest VBS curriculum, and yet not one child would meet Jesus Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, we could have 200 young people come out here on a Sunday night, and yet not one person would be equipped to share Jesus Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, we could be a growing church, but not one deed we did, one word we spoke, or one note we sang would go any higher than this ceiling. The good news is that we can be a church in whose teaching is the authority of the Spirit, in whose worship, like we're doing now, is the joy of the Spirit, in whose fellowship, like when you're greeting one another, is the love of the Spirit, and whose service are the gifts of the Spirit. And so, what are we waiting for? Let's be a Pentecost church here at Chestnut Level, and let's start now. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious God, we do, at a fundamental level, yearn for a deep, rich life in you. We yearn for something that goes beyond our mere outward appearance. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be in the midst of us as your people. As a church, we want to be more than just busy and big. We want to be faithful and authentic as your disciples. And so come now and give us your purpose, give us your presence, and give us your power as we go and minister in your name. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray all these things. Amen.